The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 3, from verses 9 to 16. The book of John, chapter 3, verses 9 to 16. I will invite you to follow with me in your Bible, and together we will read the last verse, verse 16. But I will start with verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And together, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, seminary.
Good morning.
Thank you so much to my brothers and sisters from Haiti who are serving with us on the platform today. And welcome to all the others from the Caribbean who are in the house. When Northern Caribbean University was mentioned earlier on, I heard some amens, so I think there's some people here from Jamaica who have come from that great school. Those of us from the Caribbean are really enjoying the sunshine in Barren Springs today. We are happy that spring has come. Someone said, spring has sprung. And we're just happy to be alive at this time of the year. But I've come to preach a Christmas sermon this morning. Well, you know, in the Caribbean, we don't have snow in Christmas anyhow, so we get confused about that. I may not get a chance to preach to you again until after Christmas. There's so many great preachers here in the seminary. But that's not really the reason why I'm preaching a Christmas sermon. Actually, I have decided with the Apostle Paul, as he puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if that's what you're preaching about, it's always going to be a Christmas sermon. There will be some familiar themes from the last time I spoke to you, but hopefully we will take them a little further today as the Lord helps us. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse." You don't need me to repeat the rest of that famous Christmas story. But in your mind's eye, even in springtime, don't you begin to see the Christmas lights blinking on the Christmas tree and the Christmas presents all neatly wrapped, some large, some small, under the Christmas tree? And they're not unwrapped. They're all neatly packaged. It's not time to open them yet, because Christmas has not yet come. But I've come to remind you this morning to open the gift that God has given to us, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And I'm so happy that we don't have to wait until Christmas to open it. What do you say? Yes. Who is this gift that God has given to us? The gift is Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Just before the book of Jude and Revelation, the same John who wrote the gospel, the fourth gospel, wrote some brief epistles, wonderful books. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he says, "We have handled him, and we have seen him, he who is that eternal life which was with the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ." And as we just read together from John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So who is God's gift? God's gift is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And packaged in that gift is eternal life. And we're talking this morning about how to open God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 16 not only tells us who the gift is, Jesus Christ in whom we have eternal life, but John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us how to open the gift. The gift is given to all of us, and we all can open the gift if we will only believe the gospel. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But sometimes we find ourselves like the father who came to Jesus with his sick son and said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, help us." Sometimes when God has already given us the gift of salvation, our prayer is, "Lord, if you can save me, do what you can for me." And we fumble as we try to unpack the gift of God's salvation. But there is a lesson for us in what Jesus said to that father 2,000 years ago. When the father said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, help us." Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And so, how do we open God's gift of salvation is the same as the question of how can we believe? How do we believe in Jesus Christ? And I have good news for you this morning. And that is that the same God who gave us the gift of Jesus, the same God who gave us the gift of eternal life in Jesus, that same God has given us the gift of faith in Jesus so that we can open the gift of his great salvation, which is so full and so free. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 6:39, "It is the work of God that you believe." It is the work of God that you believe. So God has given us a wonderful gift in Jesus Christ, eternal life, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God has given to us the gift of faith, for it is the work of God that you believe. Look with me at John chapter 6 and verse 40. When we believe, we receive eternal life. Turn with me there in your Bibles to the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. John chapter 6 and verse 40. What does it say? That's right. Maybe you have a little different version from me, so let me read it in my version. John chapter 6 and verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
"And I will raise him up at the last day." You're also familiar with what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For the grace, we are saved by the grace of God through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of human works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained from the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them." So in Jesus Christ, God has given us eternal life, and he has given us the gift of faith so that we might open the package of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, and even that faith is not something that you create. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, a logical question comes to our minds at this point. If the gift is so free, and if the faith we need to unpack the gift has been given to everyone, why doesn't everyone open the gift of salvation? And some people have concluded that God has given the gift of faith and salvation only to some people. That's why only some people open the gift. But the Bible teaches us differently. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many people? All men." But some people just simply refuse to open the gift. After they have received even the faith necessary to believe, they will not exercise that faith. They receive the grace of God. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, they receive the grace of God in vain. It's possible to frustrate the grace of God, for His grace is not irresistible. And so the Apostle Paul says in another place, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Many people refuse to open the gift of God's salvation. And do you know it can happen even in a seminary? In fact, I could be preaching about how to open the gift of salvation and making it very simple and straightforward, and you could enjoy the sermon and still not open the gift. I would that it not be so for anyone today. In fact, you could be the preacher preaching about opening the gift and not open the gift. That's why I focus on this issue so much. In fact, next time I get a chance to preach, I'm going to preach on the same thing. I might choose a different topic, but it's the same thing. I want you to open the gift, and I want to challenge myself to open the gift. God has done everything that He can do for us without us. If you want Him to do anything else for you, He's going to have to do it through you, because He has given us all of heaven in the gift of Jesus Christ. Let us not receive the grace of God in vain. The Bible clearly teaches that God has given to every man the measure of faith. You can read about it in the book of Romans. God has given to every man the measure of faith. Some people again say, well, He's just given that to those who are Christians, you know, because the book of Romans was written to Christians, and so Paul says God has given to every man in the church the measure of faith. But you could be lost even in the church if you don't exercise that faith, if you don't unpack the gift. And so Paul and James are in agreement when James says, O vain man, don't you know that faith that does not work is dead? Let us not receive the grace of God in vain, and let us not receive the faith of God in vain. Now, lest you misunderstand me, let me make it clear that we are not saved by opening the gift of salvation. Let me repeat that. We are not saved by opening the gift of salvation. But at the same time, we are not saved without opening the gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved. Faith doesn't save you. For by grace are you saved. Faith doesn't save you. But we are saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But we are not saved by doing good works. But neither are we saved without good works. So we are not saved by opening the gift of salvation, but we are not saved without opening it. I don't quite understand that, but that's what the gospel says. And so I accept it by faith, lest I receive the grace and the faith of God in vain. During the preliminaries of the service, we prayed for the sick. James again says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. But is it prayer that saves the sick? And is it faith that saves the sick? Notice what James says in James 5, verse 15. The prayer of faith saves the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If God does not act in conjunction with our prayers, then our prayers are in vain. And in fact, if His Holy Spirit does not inspire us to pray, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But if God gives us the gift, let's open the gift. Amen? If God gives us grace, may it not be grace in vain. If He gives us faith, let us exercise the faith that He has given us. We can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling because it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. In Colossians 1:29, Paul says, I work according to His working, which worketh mightily in me. Ephesians 3:20, He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think to ask, according to the power that works where? In us. According to the power that worketh in us. So if you want to see God at work, then you have to unpack the gift of His salvation by putting your faith to work. Some of us know where we're going to be working when we leave the seminary. Someone just said in the preliminaries that they're praying as to whether to go where the conference called them. Congratulations. God bless you. Some of us know where we're going to work when we leave the seminary. And that opportunity to work is a part of the gift that God has given you. Work is not something you do to deserve the gift. Work is just opening the gift and enjoying it. I mean, how many of you want to go through the seminary and graduate and then not have a place to work? You say, Lord, what happened? You know? Some of us know where we're going when we leave the seminary, and that opportunity to work together with God and with His church is a gift. Some of us don't know where we will work when we leave the seminary. But I have comforting news for you. The God who gave you the gift of salvation and the God who is equipping you with ministry gifts here at the seminary is reserving for you a place in His vineyard. He has a gift of work for you too. So don't worry about it. But just as you want that place to work when you leave the seminary, so God wants us to work out the salvation that He has put in us by His grace. Many years ago, when I graduated from Northern Caribbean University in Jamaica, I was able to return home to my alma mater, Bahamas Academy, to work. Yeah, I got a salary, but it was a gift to be able to work. I'm happy I did. That was a stepping stone to getting here. I remember the school song at Bahamas Academy. Now, of course, when I was a student, you know, the rule of the school, the pedagogus, had me in bondage, and I didn't like being there. But when I went back as a teacher, it was different. I liked the school song then. This is what the school song said. Bahamas Academy, Bahamas Academy, this is the place to be. When I was a student, I wanted to go someplace else. Bahamas Academy, Bahamas Academy, this is the school for me, with godly teachers to guide us and parents who care and love. We'll strive to attain the utmost with the blessing of God above. And I was happy to go to work at Bahamas Academy. It was a gift to me to work there. Then I went on to work at Northern Caribbean University. When I was a student there, the school song said, O'Dare College on the Hill, the noble WIC, West Indies College. Now we sing, to the blessed hill you've brought us, where we've had our hopes and dreams fulfilled, Oh, the glorious things you've taught us midst the pine trees and the wind. We will rise and call you blessed as we strive to serve mankind. And we'll praise our God each moment for the love in you we find. It's a wonderful attitude toward being in school that is encapsulated in the school song. But we usually don't feel that way except when we're singing the song. But work and study is a gift from God. In fact, everything we have is a gift from God. My very existence is a gift from God. In Him we live and move and have our being. So there is never going to be anything that you can do to deserve salvation. But God has given to us the gift of salvation, and we owe ourselves the privilege of participating in that gift, of cooperating with that gift, of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, remembering that it is God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And if God has done so much for us, it is no wonder that the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a gift of salvation?" And so I say to you today, let us stir up the gift that is in us. Amen? Amen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, "Stir up the gift that is in you." Jesus told a parable about a man who received a talent from his master and buried it in the ground. And when the master came back, he said, "At least you could have put it in the bank, gotten some interest." And we could use a contemporary banking illustration and say that God has given us the gift of salvation like a check for $1 million. Could you use a check for $1 million today? Now, God has given us the gift of salvation that's worth much more than that. But if we don't exercise our faith, it's like having a check for $1 million and not cashing it. Let us stir up the gift that is in us. Amen? Now, there are two ways I'd like to suggest that we need to stir up the gift of salvation that is in us before we end today. Number one, let us stir up the gift of faith through hope. What did I say? Let us stir up the gift of faith through hope. Did you know that we open God's gift of salvation by hope? In fact, the Bible says we are saved by hope. How can we be saved by grace through faith and at the same time be saved by hope? Because hope is faith in action. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So how do you stir up the gift of faith? Hope in God. That's how Abraham had the righteousness of God imputed to him, right? He hoped against hope. He expected what God said he would receive. And God credited it to him for righteousness. So that's one of the ways we can stir up the gift of faith that is in us. Hope and expect that what God says will come to pass in our lives. As Jesus put it, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And Jesus says again in the Gospel of Mark that when we pray, we ought to believe that we receive the things that we ask for, and we will have them. So stir up the gift of faith that is within us. To stir up this gift of faith, we must hope in God. Hope is the work of faith, and the full assurance of hope is like an anchor to the soul. But it requires diligence to stir up this gift of hope in us. This hope brings to us the righteousness which is by faith. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. But we must unpack the gift. We must let him shine forth in our lives and in our experiences. But that means that we must hope in God. We must expect great things from God. Christians must be optimists, not pessimists. We must hope in God. The second thing we can do to stir up the faith that is in us is that we can stir up the gift of love. The Apostle Paul says, these three things abide: faith, hope, and what else? Love. And the greatest of these is love. Did you know that we open God's gift of salvation by love? If we receive the love of the truth, Paul says, we will be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, I'm not adding works to faith when I talk about hope and love. For it is faith that works by love and purifies the soul. And we love God because he first loved us. Can you say amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And so the gift of love is a gift from God. But the apostle says here in 1 John chapter 4 that we ought to love our brothers and sisters as well. You can't say you love God if you don't love the people next to you in chapel. So stir up the gift that is in you through hope and love. Faith works through hope and love. By the way, hope and love are not feelings. When we say stir up the gift of faith, we're not talking about just stirring up feelings. Now, hope and love bring feelings, but they're not based on feelings. Neither faith or hope or love are simply feelings, though they can produce good feelings. Full assurance of hope and faith and love is not based on feelings. You will never love your enemies based on how you feel. Genuine faith, hope, and love are grounded in the Word of God. Can you say amen? Let's see what that looks like in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 24. Genuine faith at work through hope and love is grounded in the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Then skip down with me to verse 35. As we look at love, hope and love are related together. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And we're going to see now that as with hope, so with love, it's not a matter of feeling. Else you'd be easily separated from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation separate us? You mightn't feel too good when you're being subject to tribulation. But the gift of love will not fail when we're in tribulation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? What about distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor term papers, nor final exams, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a wonderful gift God has given us in Christ Jesus. Gift of grace through faith, which works through hope and love. But what a tragedy it would be if we simply neglected to open the gift because we didn't feel like opening it. Have you ever been feeling down, discouraged, ready to give up? And then someone came by you all smiling and they said, "How are you doing today?" And you smiled back and you said, "Fine, thank you." And then when they had passed, ouch, you're back into your troubles. We need to open the gift of salvation that God has given us. The question is not how do you feel, but do you believe? When shall we open the gift of salvation? Shall we wait until Christmas? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Will you now open the gift of God's salvation? In Christ are hid all treasures. Let's open the gift. Now, as seminarians, you may be tempted to say, "But Pastor, I've done that before. I've opened the gift already." Do it again and again and again. Jesus says, "I am the door to the sheepfold, and you should come in and go out, and come in and go out and find pasture." John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And by the way, Jesus is not only the door of the sheepfold, he is also the shepherd. So John 10 verse 4 says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me wherever I go." The gift of salvation is not something you open once for all, as though once saved, always saved. But the gift of salvation is something we can keep opening every day of our lives. So if you've done it before, do it again today. How about that? "We have heard thy call, Lord Jesus, and our hearts respond with joy. We will pledge you our allegiance again today in this place." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. Let's stand together and sing that song, 335. "Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed. The price is paid. What a wonderful Savior." But don't sing it without opening the gift. And let's keep it open and keep opening it every moment of the rest of this day and every day for the rest of our lives. 335.
For sin atonement made, what a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He walks beside me all the way. What a wonderful Savior, and keeps me faithful day by day. What a wonderful Savior. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior, and triumph in each trying. Ah, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior, Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior, Jesus, my Lord.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are and for what you have already done for us in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for so great a salvation. And thank you for giving us what we need in order to be able to unpack the gift. Thank you for the joy and the power that we sense in our lives even now as we have opened the gift again today. And help us to open it every day. Help us to always walk with Jesus until at last we walk with him into the pearly gates, into the city of the New Jerusalem. May each of us here today be in the number then when the saints go marching in. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.